Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Friday, agenda-free Friday. Meaning everything on the board from the week we'll get to. It's all up to you and your phone calls. You set the agenda. That's the way we do it here on a Friday. It's brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. I'm logging into the call screen. We will give opening remarks, and then when the callers are up, we will go to you first segment if we're all ready for it. We give opening thoughts. I will go first and just mention the Tuukka Rask situation. If you're just tuning in. Hi, Mass.
Go. Yeah, go.
Okay.
Zoe broke my audio jack. I can't hear anything. Go.
Okay. We're going to get that worked out. If you're just tuning in, Tuukka Rask today suddenly was given a leave of absence for a personal matter by the Boston Bruins. I'll just read from Joe Haggerty's post at NBCSportsBoston.com. The Bruins started today's practice 20-plus minutes after the scheduled 11:30 start time, and there was no sign of Tuukka Rask on the ice when they did finally get close to going at noontime. Coach Bruce Cassidy had a long conversation with Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara before the practice finally did get started, and that's when things began clearing up with Rask's status. The Bruins shortly thereafter released a statement saying the Vezina Trophy winning goalie has been granted a personal leave of absence relating to a personal matter and offered zero detail beyond that. Don Sweeney was then made available to the media, and he said basically, quote, Tuukka is going to take a few days to address a personal matter. It's not health-related, so I think it's important for everyone to respect his privacy and let him deal with it for the next few days. End quote. Now, the players have come off the ice. They've given some quotes, not giving any details, but just sort of basically generically supporting Tuukka Rask. No idea what this is about. None. Could be anything. You can all speculate and play the parlor game. To me, my initial take is that he's got something going on. There's some issue. There's something. And he's been playing like it. He looks like someone who has taken an issue to the workplace, meaning he's just been that bad. It's been really bad.
Oh, I mean, no focus. Yeah. I mean, there's heavy head, you know?
So it's not surprising in a fashion when you've seen how he's played. You know, even last night, which was just a cluster of epic proportions for both goalies. Both goalies. Couldn't stop a balloon. Couldn't stop a beach ball. But when Rask came in, it was like, whew. I mean, he gave up a 55-foot wrist shot. Bruins have a 5-on-3 in two goals in the third period. He tries to clear the puck, puts it right on the guy's stick, right on the Vancouver Canucks stick, turns around, slaps it into an empty net. Gave up another goal that was like a butterfly, like a literal knuckleball, but not like a hard knuckleball. Like, dude, did you leave your glasses at home? Or it's like, so that, I mean, last night was particularly glaring, but all season he's looked like someone who is just not all there for whatever reason. And who the heck knows what it is. So he's looked like someone who has needed to get away for a while. That's my Tuukka Rask take.
I mean, even in the Dallas game, that goal he gave up, right? Like, all of it. And so, I don't know. I've always operated under the premise, if you show up, you're supposed to produce. So this is the right thing to do. Like, I don't know what it is that's going on. I suppose I can't even make that judgment until we do. But anyway, like, so that aside, my opening take concerns Malcolm Butler. And I'm going to say this just simply, quickly, because we've talked about it all week. But the whole idea that Bill was right for benching Butler in the Super Bowl because of the way Butler is playing now, that whole idea, regardless of who it comes from, okay, that whole idea, whether it's Gasper or anybody else, I don't get it. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't get it. I don't get that logic at all because I don't think it exists. It's not faulty logic. It's non-existent logic. It doesn't make sense to me for someone to think that way. And you like to use the term, Mike, intellectually dishonest. Okay? I will tell you that it's downright duplicitous, deceitful. Like, I think it's just flat out wrong to make that connection. So if there are people out there that believe that Bill Belichick is somehow justified in for sitting Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, particularly in the second half, based on the way Butler is playing now, I honestly, I don't even know if I should waste my time talking to you because I think you're so wrong. I can't emphasize that enough. I just find that to be unbelievably wrong and so flawed it's not even funny.
All right, Chris Gasper will be in at 4. Yeah. So this is a good time to have Gasper in. We'll have that conversation. Murray, what's your opening thought?
I want to talk about last night's Celtics overtime win in Phoenix. I think there was some good but a lot of bad from that game. I'll give you the good first. Kyrie Irving, the ball's down the stretch. He's obviously healthy. First few minutes of the overtime, wildly entertaining back and forth. How the game ended reminded me of last year. A lot of those type of games last year. Now the bad. Kyrie's the only real closer. It seems like the ball should only be in his hands. They had to force overtime against arguably the worst team in the NBA. That's embarrassing. And how the game ended reminded me of last year because it was a bit much by the end of it where you're like life or death against some bad teams. That wasn't about heart last night. Oh, what heart they showed to force overtime. That was about borderline humiliation. That they were in the position to lose that game and get blown out in that game for the better part of 3.5 quarters to the worst team in the NBA, and I don't care how good Devin Booker is, and I like him, and DeAndre Ayton looks like they might have hit on that pick. The rest of the Suns stink. That was embarrassing. The first 3.5 quarters of that game was shameful offensively. And since the start of the season, how many times have I already said it? There's a tightness with this group. How many open shots that they miss? And not just open looks. Last night, they missed like 5 or 6 easy layups that just didn't go in. There's a tightness around this team offensively. And I don't think that they have to figure out rotations right now as much as they need to just check their heads and check their egos and maybe even see a shrink. Maybe someone, especially someone like Jason Tatum, which is, it's been sad to see how he started this year. And they essentially bench him in that second half last night, which didn't make sense to me initially. But it's like, okay, look at how he played in that first half. He sucked. So I don't know if he needs a shrink or maybe some time with me at a dispensary because fun finish. I'm glad that they won that game. It wasn't a 3-game losing streak to start this road trip, but that was, I don't know how anyone can walk away from that win last night and still not feel concerned about how this team has started this year.
They got some issues to figure out on that team. They got some issues to figure out. Rask apparently has some issues to figure out, and we got a big Patriots game on Sunday in Nashville. So off and running. Gender Free Friday, everything on the board, including Red Sox, whatever you want. Jake in Boston on Tuukka Rask. Go ahead, Jake.
Felger, Maz, hello. Listen, I hope Tuukka gets the help he needs, but I think the Bruins need to be a little bit more direct. This wasn't physical health related. There have been rumors out there with Tuukka for a long time in regards to certain issues he's had, and I'm thinking about the Ottawa game, the final game of the season. I'm thinking about the Olympic semifinal. And Matt Shimura is a good PR person, unlike Stacey James, and keeps his media in line. But this is mental health related. It's not physical health related.
Okay. You know, whatever it is, you don't think the Patriots keep their media in line? What are you, nuts? But
I mean, we're talking about Butler benching in context.com this week.
Yeah, of course. No, the Patriots do just fine controlling their media, too. Don't you worry about it. On Rask, I don't know what it is. Well, who knows? It's just, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, his play, and it's odd having this debate with people who defend Rask. Like, you must not be watching, or you're just argue with me to argue with me. Because it's been sort of apparent with this guy that something ain't right. You know, and he's got off to slow starts before. That's become a thing. But maybe that's part of the same pattern. And then Cassidy said, you know, so we went to his conditioning. You know, what are you doing in the offseason for your conditioning? He basically called him out and said, well, we're going to address that. Make sure that you're in condition. He was not ready to play that game last night. Now, I mean, he wasn't the starter. And neither was Halak, by the way. I mean, no one was ready to play that game. I'm just saying, he looks like someone who needs to get away. And it's only a month into the season. So, I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, again, how many soft short side goals have there been?
Oh, I mean, last night was unreal.
But it's been an ongoing thing. Like, I don't know. I tend to, like, I have no idea what it is. I don't know if it's mental. Like, I have no idea. Okay, I have no idea. I always, like, to me, I hope it's not something like he has a kid, right?
So,
like with one of his kids or something like that. That to me is totally understandable if he's out to lunch like that.
And don't you think the team would indicate that though? And
not necessarily.
Well, all these things are sort of handled through the union, and they're like they're already sort of pre. There's a protocol for all these things. If you're in a treatment program, they call it a certain thing. If it's a family leave, it's a family leave. If it's a bereavement, they call it bereavement. Like they have, like Major League Baseball has a designated bereavement.
Sure.
And all these leagues do. I think they have a designated bereavement that they've hammered out with the unions in the CBA. And if it were something like that, I think they would have been a little more specific to it because it's something that's accounted for in the collective bargaining agreement. So if it was a family thing, if it was something like that, I think we'd know.
I don't know. Maybe.
We'd know generically.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, but didn't they
God forbid that, of course.
Didn't they also say he could be back within a few days?
Yeah, so what? I mean, if it was...
I mean, so if it's mental health, it's something that can be fixed in 3 days?
No. No, sir.
Like, you see what I'm getting at? Like, that doesn't sound right. Like, I don't know what it is.
I mean, it's possible there was an incident and they said, get the hell out of here.
Maybe.
We'll call it a leave of absence. We're not going to out you for this, but... Beat it for a couple
it's
days.
Yeah, it's weird. There's no two ways about it, but he has not been focused. There's no two ways about that.
Paulie in the car, what'd you think about last night's Celtics game?
Yeah, I want to ask a question. What was more embarrassing last night? The 13-point first quarter, Jason Tatum, or the fact that a miracle three from Marcus Morris had to send the game into overtime against the Suns, who will win 30 games if they pray to the right God?
30? They won't win 30.
No, they'll win like 19.
I mean, that's a horrid team.
Well, there's some players, but they obviously don't know how to play. Like, I mean, what stood out to me is on that last play, which was awesome for the Celtics, but how do you not foul? Marcus Morris is standing there with the ball at the top of the three-point key. You foul him and you send him to the line.
Correct.
I mean, all the time. That wasn't like bang, bang. You were in no danger of...
No, they benefited from playing a young, dumb team that's not used to being in a situation
good
like that.
Lord. How do you not foul Marcus Morris?
And even Kyrie before he gets a shot off, or the pass off.
Right, and I'm not talking Marcus Morris on the shot. I'm talking about the inbound goes to Morris, and he's standing on the top of the three-point key as Kyrie comes from all the way from the backcourt. And so he was in not a shooting position. He was no threat to shoot. I think his back was actually...
His back was to the basket.
His back was to the basket, whatever that is, 27 feet from the rim. And you don't take the foul there?
Again, with 6 seconds left or whatever the number was.
What the hell? So anyway... The Tatum thing stands out to me. He was benched last night. He was benched.
Oh, I think that's exactly what it was.
He was benched.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't in that second half starting five, and he didn't come into like late in the third. Like, he finished with 4 points, 1 for 7 from the floor.
Correct.
Like, that Tatum to me was the story last night.
Yeah, and the fact that it's Marcus Smart that played for him to start the second half tells me they don't think Tatum's playing defense.
And then the coach said in his, like, the in-game interview that he does, something about, you know, we have to have effort that's non-negotiable. And he wasn't asked about Tatum, I don't think, but it was a generic comment about we need effort and that's non-negotiable. And Tatum's on the bench to start the second half.
Yeah,
so, there it is.
And again, if it's Smart, then that tells me it's about defense. Because effort and defense go hand in hand. There's something about Tatum on the defensive end that they've been frustrated with. I don't think he's been that great on the offensive end. If you want to know the truth, he does when he makes shots.
No, opening night against Philadelphia, and then since that, he's been a shell of himself.
But it's all been one-on-one stuff,
yeah.
Right? And I know Ainge tried to justify some of this with the morning show the other day by saying, well, he's a scorer. Yeah, he is. But at the same time, it's more than that. You've got a lot of scorers now. It's not about just having one scorer anymore. So to me, I feel like he's been a problem at both ends, not just defense.
Agenda Free Friday is off and running. Back to you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, I can't deny the fact that I played there for 8 years. We had a lot of success. You know, Bill was my coach. You know, he traded me to Kansas City. We didn't talk for a couple months, maybe a year. And then we became friends, and I used him as a resource when I coached, when I started my coaching career, and still talk to him, you know, a lot now. This week we're competitors, and we're always competitors. I'm still coaching, and so is he. So I guess it's unique from that standpoint. But, you know, as far as how much is his philosophy is in me, I think that, you know, spending time there, I think there's some similarities that I believe in and that you grow up as a player believing in. But then I think we have a different personality. I respect his friendship. I respect his guidance and leadership when I played there. But now, you know, we're competitors, and we have to do everything we can to try to beat the Patriots.
Okay, then we have Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. The Vrabel thing I love. I'm just, as I talked about earlier in the week, this is totally different than any other matchup we've had here. This isn't another assistant coach coming to face Bill. This is a player who, you know, was in the trenches against Brady every day in practice and was, you know, right in there with Bill as a player. And now he's back, and there's very few comps in the world of sports for a guy like this to have played on a team and then come back and coach against the same team, not the uniform, but the same coach, the same quarterback, some of the same principles that he played with. And I just wonder, I don't know if Vrabel can coach yet or not, but I just know this one's different. This one's different, and I'm just curious to see how it plays out. Vrabel was one of the few guys in that locker room who wasn't afraid of Bill when he was in the locker room. So what does that mean when he's on the opposite side of the sidelines? I wonder what that means. He's someone, Vrabel, who competed hard with Brady at practice, like in his face, you know, trash talk, the whole thing, every day. So he's not in awe of these guys. He's a contemporary of these guys. So how does that all play out on Sunday? I'm fascinated to see it. Who do you like in the game, Maz? Or, I mean, what do you like this week? You don't have to pick it.
To me, this feels like a scary game. I mean, if I were betting it, I don't even know what the line is. But
Patriots by 7.5.
Take Tennessee in the points. I mean, I generally like home dogs getting more than 3 anyway. But, you know, depending on how bad the home dog is. But in this case, getting 7, I take Tennessee. I think Titans are going to have a hard time scoring. If they had Delanie Walker, I tell you flat out, I think Tennessee's going to win the game. So I don't know how they're going to score. But I think this one's going to be a rock fight and it's going to be close.
I think you're high. The Titans are terrible, and Marcus Mariota is garbage. Five touchdowns. You've had Mahomes throw 5 in 2 different games, I think, at one point this season. Their offense is garbage. The Pats are going to blow them up.
Yeah, I know, and Mitchell Trubisky sucks, too, and that game was 38-31 or whatever the hell it was. They gave up 31 points on Mitchell Trubisky. So I'm just telling you, I don't like the spot. I think it's going to be a rock fight. And look, they make us pick for the web. I don't know if you participate in that or not.
Oh, I sure don't.
Okay, I do. I pick Tennessee by a point. So, you know, only because I can't pick against the spread. But I would tell you, if I were betting, I'd take Tennessee in the points.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts, whatever you want, on an agenda free. Couple Red Sox thoughts here. Bill in Westford. Go, Bill.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to that Game 3 of the World Series, Red Sox, Dodgers, the one that went for 7 hours and 20 minutes.
You got it.
So I stayed up for that, right? But it made me so mad that the game was so long, I said I'm not going to watch Game 4. So I wonder if this might be the year baseball finally does something about the ridiculous length of these games.
Well, so I'll give you a thought that came out this week, and they're talking about sign stealing.
Yeah.
And people are wondering, like, why are they worrying about sign stealing? I think this is an important issue for pace of play. The sign stealing, that's what's gummed the game up. I mean, a lot of things have, but this is one of the things that have really gummed up baseball, is that these teams have gotten so paranoid about sign stealing. So that's why the catcher's up every other batter to go change the signs. That's why they have to call timeout and step out and, you know, redo the signs and all this. It's all about the signs. And a caller and others have mentioned they should do what they do in football and other sports. Put an earpiece in the pitcher's ear, put a little earpiece in the catcher's thing, or a little way to just to electronically get the sign in his ear. And it eliminates all this stuff. All these machinations with sign stealing in baseball that have really slowed the game down.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Again, they use it in other sports. They use it in football to call in signals. Why can't you do it in baseball? Now, look, I know the batter is standing right there and can hear the catcher, but maybe there's a way to do it by putting some sort of, you know, buttons on the guy's shin guard, and he presses one and it's a fastball, and 2 and it's a curve.
Because this,
I don't know. I'm just telling you that, like, to me, there's a fix there. There's an easy fix there.
The sign stealing is one of the things that have really slowed down the game. Teams have gotten so good at it. Teams have gotten so paranoid about it. And any big situation, guy on second, there it takes forever to figure out what they're going to throw because they don't want the other side to steal it. So fine, put a little earpiece in his ear. Figure that out. Alan in Florida on the Sox. Hi, Alan.
Hello. I just want to say, Maz, I wish you'd like to bet with me. The line's 6.5. You could bet Tennessee with me for all the tea in China. Anyway, you know, I don't care about awards. They mean nothing to me except one. That happens to be the World Series award. That means, as you probably know, an awful lot to me. But for 30 guys, not to put J.D. What Scott Boras said, I usually don't agree with him either. I'd like to have every single person account for who they voted for. I mean, they have to be complete morons. I don't care if he's a DH or what. I mean,
let me ask you, Alan, is J.D. Mars the team MVP?
In my opinion,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then he should be on it. I mean, don't say it's not close, though. If you go on the premise that they're not going to put two guys on one team on the finalist list, then it's only one.
No, no, it's close. Mookie had a hell of a year.
And then Betts and Martinez is close.
Yeah, and it's a regular season award.
And I would go Martinez too, but don't tell me like that's not even close.
No, no, it's close. It's absolutely close.
I don't think this is that outrageous or that big of a snub. They had to pick one of the two, and that was close.
Yeah, it's not outrageous. I look at it and I say, if you want to tell me that Mookie Betts was the best all-around player in baseball this year, yeah. Fine. No question about it. I mean, you won't get a fight from me is my point, is how I would say it. But if you're asking me which guy meant more to the Red Sox and their world, you know, and winning the division with 108 wins and then going to win the World Series, J.D. Martinez.
Vinny and Revere on the Bees last night. Hi, Vinny.
Hey, boys. Give me 1 minute and then I'm going to hang up. Listen, the defense did not help Halak last night.
Agreed.
At all. That's first number one. They couldn't get the puck out. Halak really shouldn't have been blamed for that. You score five goals, you should win a game. When Tuca came in, the 80-year-old usher next to me could have stopped the first wrist shot at the end of the second
That's
period.
Unbelievable.
All right? That's number one. The atmosphere in the building in the third, when we went on the 5-on-3 and Tuca let up that goal, the place reminded me of when Jason Allison and Anson Connor were playing in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was a ghost town. Hmm. Poor Tuca gets the puck behind the net. He stops it from going around. The place is cheering. It was like the attention on him must have been so intense. The reason the Bruins got Halak this year, they know something's going up with Tuca, and I think it's going to be some bad news going forward, but the team should be okay.
Okay, so I hope everything's all right with him and his family. Like, I wish no ill on someone, and, you know, I just want to say that because I just feel like he's played like someone who has an issue.
Oh, yeah, no, he's affected. There's no two ways about it. And again, that's a hard thing to sort of divide up.
I mean, not that I could put my finger on it. I just looked at him and said he sucks. But, oh, okay, does he suck for a reason? Like, that wouldn't surprise me, that there's a reason behind the way he's looked.
No, it feels like there's a reason there. But again, I just think it's a hard thing to divide up as a fan or an onlooker. Like, you sit there and say, well, if there's something that's really affecting him that much, he shouldn't be out there at all because he can't play. I mean, he just can't play. He's not playing anything close to his level. So what do? You say, well, if you're on the ice, you're expected to perform. Like, I just don't know any way around that. What do you say? That's the job. If you can't do it, you shouldn't be out there. So if it finds now, in the Bergeron comment that they mentioned on the midday show, they said he asked for it, right?
Okay, so I didn't hear that.
Bergeron made a reference to, you know, he asked for the leave of absence. And if that's the case, I would commend him for that. Because you can't do, you're clearly not playing at the level you should be playing at.
Hurting the team. In case you're just joining us and you haven't heard, there is some breaking news with the Bruins and Tuukka Rask. Here's the latest with Jim Murray in our update, and then we're back to discuss.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Penalty over to Horvat, and it's set up the middle and back into the Bruins zone. Rask out to play it. Gave it away to Horvat. Turns, shoots, and scores. Short-handed 7-4 Canucks.
Rask alertly comes out to play this puck, but Horvat read where he was going with it, and Horvat was able to knock it down, and before Rask can get back into the net, he's going to slide this one home.
Only a handful of seconds remain, and the horn will sound. Markstrom makes the save, and the Vancouver Canucks come into TD Garden. And down the Boston Bruins, 8-5.
I don't think they'd ask either goalie they were on, and that's that. We scored five goals, usually enough to win. It's going to happen from time to time. Like I said, I think our goaltending has been generally, well, Halak's been outstanding, and Tuukka's been solid. He's had a couple games that weren't terrific by his standards, but it happened tonight. They snowballed on both.
So that was last night. Cassidy also said after the game that in the middle of it, he started to second-guess taking out Halak. When he saw some of the goals going against Rask, he said, I started to second-guess whether I should have done that.
Well, the first one should have told him.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing it. I'm just, you know. But that was his content that, you know, maybe you think back and say, well, Halak could have figured it out and got his game together. So what a train wreck of a game. And on the goal that we played you right there, that Bruins on a power play, 5-on-3, then a 5-on-4, down 2 in the third period, and Rask puts it right on the Canucks stick for an empty net goal. And then Rask, when he, I'm putting these in air quotes, tried to get back into the play. oh, did he lollygag back into the net? He didn't even skate hard to get back in the net. He like sort of gave up on the play. That play.
Well, he had one in Dallas the other night that he gave away and ended up saving, remember?
Vaguely. This was the kind of play that either he or I'm not surprised that he or the team or someone said, okay.
What's wrong?
Why don't we, right? What's going on? And why don't we try and do something here? That goal, that performance. I mean, the whole team was bad. I'm not like doing the blame Tuca thing for the game, but he came in and was so bizarrely bad on a night when everyone was bizarrely bad that had to be sort of a warning sign or something, some sort of something where someone has to say, all right, wait, you know, why don't you get away here for a little bit, clear your head. Or he goes to the team and says, guys, I'm suffering with something. I'm going through something. I need to get away. So it doesn't, in hindsight, it really shouldn't surprise you. Here's a quote from Zdeno Chara. We respect that, meaning, well, the quote is, we respect that. It's obviously very important that we support his decision, and hopefully it's going to be solved soon, and he's going to be back with us. Obviously, we miss him. He's our teammate. He's our brother. He's been here for a long time, but like I said, we all understand and want to respect his privacy. In his absence, we support him, and we think of him. We're looking forward to having him back. That's Chara. But the line that Maz mentioned before, it's obviously very important that we support his decision. So you're...
I think his decision suggests that he asked for it. And the only reason that that is significant to me is because, look, there's all kinds of speculation when something like this happens, right? There's no idea. There's no way to know. And so one of the theories out there is that there was some incident in the locker room. There was a fight. So after the... I mean, I suppose it's possible that after a fight, Tuca goes to the team and says, listen, I'm flipping out. Are you going to let me go? You know, let me take a few days off. But I think it's more likely that he's got something going on in his own life that has nothing to do with anybody else. And that he went to them and says, look, I can't do it right now. I got to clear this up. And they agreed.
Okay.
You know, it feels to me like he went to them.
So
he went to them.
The scary thing is that it's looked like that this year, but there have been stretches the last couple it's looked like that. I mean, tapping out of games, it tapped out of the silver medal, Finland, Sweden. Which for someone from Finland is like, that's like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
An Olympic game against the country's arch rival? Like that, you know, that was several years ago. And we've had gotten to the end of the year, each of the last couple, and he's missing these big games at the end of the year. So I don't know if it's related or not, but I know the refrain from some Bruins fans is like, leave of absence. You know, that started 2.5 years ago, didn't it? Like, you haven't exactly been engage balls to the wall here for the last couple of years, have you? So, you know, just sarcastically, when did the leave really begin? Back to the phones. Tim in Nashua on the Bruins. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Mike. I hope Tuca's okay, but I mean, looking from the net and looking out, Mike, you got a 90-year-old defenseman and you went for the best center in the league with Tavares and they keep saying they're going to make a move, they're going to make a move, they're going to make a move. For a center, what exactly is going on over there?
Do you
have any info?
Yeah, I don't think they're making a move for a center. I think they tried for Tavares, in which case Krejci would have been on the block, I think. But they've lost on Tavares, so you know, what's the next best thing? They're going to stick with Krejci. I think their plan was to go back with these kids. I don't blame them for the plan. They had a bunch of kids pop last year. So I'll bring them back, see if you can get the same thing, except it's happened with none of them, exactly none of them. Unless DeBrusque, you want to say, is just, you know, has been there. But Bjork, flatlined or take a step back. Donato, flatlined or take a step back. Heinen scored his first goal last night.
Yep.
Garbage time. Flatlined, take a step back. So none of these other forwards have popped.
No,
so,
and that's what the major issue is.
If they want to be a team that does anything in the playoffs, they are going to have to make a move. I just, you know, it's okay to give it some time and see if one of these kids do pop. It just hasn't happened to this point.
No, look, chasing Tavares, I think, was the right move. You don't get a chance at that. And look, do they have any centers coming?
Like they do, actually.
Well, yeah, but again, when?
Offensive centers? I don't know, though.
So I was going to say, what are we talking, third liners?
Yeah.
You know, you need somebody behind Bergeron. Krejci can't do it anymore.
But right now, I'm looking at wing. Unless you're moving Krejci for a better center, right?
I thought they were going to move Krug for a wing. I thought that was going to happen. It didn't.
Still might be on the table. Dean in Shrewsbury on the Celtics. Hi, Dean.
Hi, the Celtics have the second hardest strength of schedule right now. And if you look at
RPI, Dean, are you really doing that? Strength of schedule?
Yeah, I'm really doing that. They're 7-4. Dean. Everybody's freaking out.
Dean, they lost at home to Orlando. They almost lost to the worst team.
Yeah, that's one game. They also beat
And a second last night was
Milwaukee.
Was just about the worst team in the league.
Dean, do you think they're the second best team in the league?
The Celtics?
Yeah, second or third best
team? No, I think Milwaukee and Toronto.
Oh, God, please. You didn't say that before the season. That's a lie.
No,
that, you didn't say that before. You didn't say that before the season.
No, no, but look.
No, I didn't, but I'm looking at what's happening right now. I mean,
so you think Milwaukee's better than Milwaukee's better than the Celtics?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee's better than the Celtics.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you're right.
They just beat the Warriors by like 20 points.
All right, dude. I hope you're right, Dean. Thank you for the call. They've had a tough schedule, except they've played like dog food against the easy teams, too.
Yeah, let's not excuse their play by saying if they're one of the best teams in the league, they should beat everybody. It doesn't matter what their schedule is.
Well, no, but
they're the teams that other teams should look at and say, well, we're going to play Boston, we're going to lose. In that league, the better team wins.
Okay, but if they lost at Toronto, which they did, fine. That's a schedule thing. What was the first game of the road trip here that they lost?
Indiana, last Saturday.
Okay, I don't know. You should be beating Indiana.
Yeah, the way that they lost it was inexcusable.
You
yeah.
can't go 0-2 at Indiana and Denver. You can't go 0-2 in those games.
And Denver's good.
But I mean, you got to go 1-1 there, though. You can't go 0-2 in those games.
They lost to Orlando at home and almost lost to the worst team in the league last night. So I don't know where strength of schedule comes in on that
one. It doesn't come into that. Again, if the Celtics are who they think they are, and I'm talking about the players now, if the Celtics are who they think they are, they shouldn't be 7-4.
Continue with the C's thoughts and everything else on Agenda Free Friday with your thoughts right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Jason has had some fantastic games early in the year, and he's had some games where he has struggled. And Jason is not selfish. Jason is a scorer. You know, sometimes he might try to do too much, but that's just the nature of the game. And he's playing to his strengths. But listen, I'm not worried about any of these types of things right now. I think that we are a team that's trying to find ourselves. I think Brad's trying to figure out the best combinations and who to play and the best combinations together to maximize our depth. It's a work in progress, but not down on any one individual. There's some guys that have played better than others more consistently, but everybody's had their ups and downs so far this year.
So that was prescient. Danny Ainge on with TNR the other day asked about Jason Tatum and his game and selfishness, and Danny says, no, not at all. And then Tatum goes out last night and gets his ass benched. After going 1-for-7 with 4 points, he was not out on the second half starting unit. I mean, I don't want to act like he didn't play. He played 30 minutes. But last night was a...
He turned into Markel Fultz.
It was a 53-minute game, so the 30 minutes is actually below his season average, and it's even less when you consider there was 5 extra minutes in the game.
I mean, they gave up 32 points in the first quarter to a team that's 29th in the league in offense.
So Tatum was there for that, and then they start the second half, and he's not on the floor. And then assistant coach Micah Shrewsbury tells Abby there with NBC Sports Boston, we're just looking for 5 guys who are going to play hard. Effort is non-negotiable. So, I don't know. You connect the dots.
I mean, that's an easy one, I think. Like, again, you look at it, you say he gave up 32 points in the first quarter to a bad team. Tatum's defense is sometimes non-existent, and they finally said enough. And the guy that replaced him is a defensive player.
Marcus Smart, right? Or was it right? Morris?
No, it was Marcus Smart.
Or Smart, yeah.
So it's one thing if the guy they're putting in is an offensive player, and you say, well, he just didn't make his shots. But when it's a defensive guy... Oh, no. They're telling you, get your head out of your butt. You're not trying hard enough.
We're just looking for 5 guys who are going to play hard. Effort is non-negotiable.
And he's an easy guy to single out, too, because he's the youngest, right, of the good players. I mean, he's younger than Brown.
But it's just sort of like, and last night reinforces how the too many mouths to feed thing is real, because Tatum goes out, he's diminished, and Jaylen Brown had maybe the best game I saw this year. He was just assertive, right? he was assertive in this ball game. I don't know how he shot or what his stats ended up with, but he felt like he was more engaged.
He was good in the second half.
A factor in this game than any game I've seen anyway. And sort of like, they're not all going to flourish together. Something has to give, or someone has to accept something less, and they're still figuring that out. I'm sorry, they are still figuring that out. Because that is a joke to play like that against that team for the balance of the game. The comeback was balls. I mean, I do have to say that. They were down 8 points with 137 left.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
8 points with 137 left.
I was ready to come in here and talk about this game with like fire and brimstone today, but that ending was awesome.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Kyrie is nails.
It was just the tie that really, honestly, I turned it off for overtime because I'm like, there's no way.
Oh,
like,
you mean, just in terms of entertainment value, it was like a ping pong match for the first couple of minutes of OT. It was fun.
The comeback was fun. But after that, there was no way Phoenix was going to win that ball game. They were down 14 with 3:31 left. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Absolutely it is. I mean, I'd love to see someone give me the mathematical odds on that, you know, when they do the...
Well, the nerds, I'll tell you, guess who kept chucking threes and missing? The Suns. And...
Yeah, Booker shot them right back into it.
Oh, totally.
He was one of the main ones.
And then, to not foul, Marcus Morris especially, at the top of the key with his back to the basket. Like, I understand, 6 seconds left, they're up three. Foul him, send him to the line. Then it's at most a one-point game. Inbound the ball, make your free throws. Make him do it again. Now with 2 seconds left. Like, that's sort of, I felt the calculus. But the thing against it is, well, what if the guy gets the ball, turns, and shoots? Now it's a shooting foul, and you get him 3 fouls. So you have to be careful. The Celtics inbounded it in a fashion that was the perfect opportunity. He was at the top of the three-point key with his back to the basket.
Right, because he was setting up for a handoff to Kyrie.
He was never going to shoot. So you go for the ball there. You either get the ball, you strip, or you get a foul, and there you go. How do you not give that foul there if you're Phoenix?
You got me. I mean, again, even when Kyrie got it right away, they should have hacked him.
So there, I'd be a little more careful with him because he's wily enough to, reach for it, he'll go up, and that's a three-shot foul. But on Morris, when he first got the ball, when he's posting at the top of the key, oh, my God, hack him.
But Kyrie put the ball on the floor.
Yeah, that too, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he put the ball on the floor. You hack him right then. As soon as he dribbles, hack! Hack!
So anyway, the issues with the team remain. The issues with the team, they pulled it out, and Kyrie was just filthy in that game. Kyrie Irving was absolutely nasty at the end of that ball game. And again, I didn't even watch the overtime. But there's something still not right with that team.
I mean, with Tatum, I just have to believe he's just bought into his hype that everyone, you know, put up his keister during this offseason. He's getting covers of Slam Magazine, ESPN the magazine, a lot of national love, and rightfully so. He looked like he was going to be an absolute superstar this year, and that could still happen. I think he's going to be a foundational piece, but he's been wretched.
Okay, back to the phones. Agenda Free Friday. Derek in Foxborough, what do you want to talk about?
Well, it's only the biggest game in the last 10 years of BC football.
I'm sorry. Who'd you say? What football?
BC football.
BC football. Boston College?
Yeah.
Boston College. just keep being you, BC. Boston College. I'll talk about anything on Agenda Free Friday. Anything that's relevant or people care about. Boston College. Ross and Newton, go ahead, Ross. What do you got?
Great call from Vinny and Revere early this hour. Last night was a joke and the building just died. But I want to talk about Rask and just recap what we know. We know that his plays showed some mental issues. We know that the team said it's not health related, which to me includes mental issues. We know that it's not family related because the team could have easily said that. Number one was back off, and we heard that he'll be back in a few days. Now, does anyone on the panel know about a report earlier this year about Flyers Finnish winger Jori Latera being questioned by Finnish authorities in relation to a drug trafficking investigation?
Oy vey. So, no.
Well, Latera was one of 20 people they brought into question about it, and he was pulled out. And if he's back in a few days, maybe Tuukka's being smuggled over to Finland, doing a little questioning, and he'll be back, and that's what's been kind of up the keister in between years.
Okay, who knows? Who knows?
I mean, without getting into the specifics of that, 3 days, if the Bruins said 3 days, one of the things that popped into me driving in was some sort of legal issue. Like, you know, and who knows what it is? I don't know. Is the guy a landlord? Does he have a tenant up his butt about something? Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Or is he Finnish Hanley?
Right, like, or
let's not go. Yeah, let's hope not.
So, like, I started to wonder, look, you never
Finnish
know, like.
Hanley, oh, God.
So, apparently, he has a significant other, right? A woman, I don't know if they're married or not, but they have a child together. Like, how do you know there isn't some dispute there and someone ran off with a kid? Like, I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, we're only left to speculate.
Right, and I but 3 days would be consistent with a legal matter of some sort, whatever that legal matter is. Like, okay, I got to go and take care of this, and then I'll be back. If it's fast, I'll be back on Tuesday. Otherwise, it'll be Friday. Right? Like, you
yeah.
follow me?
Yeah, no.
Like, that I get.
Yeah.
But the mental health thing, they're going to solve that in 3 days?
We continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Again, if you haven't heard the news on Tuukka Rask, here's the very latest in the update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back on an Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.